Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia dealers of Ireland. Wherever the next 7 years bring you, Kia are with you all the way.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Two callers to begin with on the exact same topic. It was introduced, this loan scheme. It was called the Bank of Ireland, introduced it in 2000, 21 years ago. It was called Life Loan. And the idea was that if you're an older person and you're living in a house that had a value, you could draw down up to one third the value of the house in cash for other purposes. Now, one of the purposes, it was an argument put forward in support of it at the time by independent financial planning experts, was, well, if you draw down, say, 80k from your house, you can use that to help your children buy a house, and your house will go up in value in the meantime, and their house will go up in value in the meantime. But the question is, what about when the hens or the chickens indeed come home to roost? Because Anne and Catherine, Anne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. How much did you borrow? How much was borrowed?
80,000.
How much do you owe now?
Nearly a quarter of a million.
Wow. Tell us, when did you borrow?
2005, September okay. 2005.
And was it straightforward getting the amount?
Sorry, say that again. Sorry.
Was it straightforward getting the
loan? Yeah. There was no problem. I had to fill in, well, we all, both my husband and I had to fill in various documents, and it was all explained, and it went, like, you didn't get it, like, ask for it today and get it tomorrow. Yeah. You had to wait a couple of months, you know.
And what was the advantage in it for you at that
time? Well,
at
the time, my son just had come home from Australia.
Okay.
And my daughter was just on the brink of trying to buy a house because she had been renting a lot while she was studying and working in the city, and it was all getting too dear for her and various other reasons. And we sort of thought, well, if we could do that, then we could give her at least a good deposit to put on a house, and we could certainly put my son through college. Mm-hmm. For whatever he wanted to do at the time. And that was basically it. I mean, the only thing we bought out of the whole thing for ourselves, believe it or believe it not, was a car in 2006. And believe it or not, it's still outside my front door 15 years later.
And how did 80 grand turn into nearly over 200,000?
6.1% compound interest.
6.1% compound interest.
Yes.
Okay.
The compound bit I didn't hear.
You didn't hear, okay.
I didn't, genuinely didn't. And I can't read because I am very partially sighted. Now I'm kind of even more since we came onto this COVID lockdown. My sight seems to have deteriorated a lot in the last 3 or 4 months.
So we know what you saw in the loan. What did you, and pardon the use of that word, if you have vision difficulties, apologies. We know what attracted you to the loan, but what do you know, if you had known then what you know now, what would have stopped you taking the loan?
You see, apart from anything else, when you're 65 years old, you don't really think you're probably going to make it to 80. I didn't anyway, for a start off. And my husband, who I think I said to your researcher at some stage, like, he came from a family that none of them ever decided they wanted to go past 60. Every male member of his family, and that's no exaggeration, like fathers and uncles and everything. And on both sides of his family, so I've kept thinking, well, you know, you're probably going to do the same trick on me, you know. But he didn't, thanks be to God, he's still with me. And we both celebrated our 80th birthday last year.
But what did you...
You know, I didn't realise that it was going up at this and this. And I didn't know what to do about it, Joe, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk to somebody. I did talk to a financial guy and he kind of just waved me off. He wasn't interested. And then I just didn't know where to go. Ask somebody, and I did hear it on your show a few years ago, and I didn't want to kind of go through with it myself because I sort of said that the whole neighbourhood is going to hear it all now. And I sort of said, well, to hell with the neighbours at this stage. I don't care. You know, I don't mean that in a bad way if my neighbours are listening. I don't mean that. But, you know, I just sort of said, it's my business.
It's your privacy, yeah.
Yeah, and that's it.
But Anne, could you have started repaying the loan in the first year? Though
Really, Joe, because we were only on the social benefits. You know.
So the whole attraction was they linked it to your house.
Yes.
Now they would argue, well, your house has gone up in value in the meantime.
Well, no, in the meantime it came down in value in 2007 or 2008 when the crash came. It came actually down, and I thought, oh, maybe now they'll reduce the interest on the bank. What a hope.
And 80K was what proportion of the value of the house in 2000?
The value of the house when I applied for the loan was, they were actually going for over 600,000.
Wow.
It came back down to nearly 400,000 in the crash, 450,000.
So the value of the loan... 7,856. The value of the loan was about 13-14% of the value of the house, the 80K, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you worked out the math.
At that time, about 13. But what's the value of your house now?
Well, they're give or take, it's around, it depends on how much extra work people have done on their houses around here. I haven't exactly put anything exceptional to my house. No. I just kept it maintained very well as much as I can. But people have put out cobble locking and
don't worry about that. In the ballpark, how much is your
the
house?
The ballpark I would hope to get if I had to sell it in the morning would be 550.
Okay, so now, as I say, 80K out of 600, which it was worth at the time, is around 15% on average. But now it's nearly, you owe 204K and a house worth between 550 and 600. You're nearly getting up to 50% of the value, 45% of the value of the house.
Yeah.
But you, the bank would say, and we're getting a statement often, they don't come on live then, as you know.
Well, I did ring, as I said to your researcher earlier, I just sort of said, I went there in September and I went along to see, could they meet me halfway or could they even just stop right now, like after 15 years? And if I could die next week, I could die tomorrow, I could die whenever, you know. But if I live another 10 years, they'll own my house.
They'll have the full value of the house. Mm. And were you saying to them, can I pay off the loan now?
No, I sort of said no. If I just asked them, I wasn't in a position to do that. So there was no way. This is my own dilemma. I wasn't in a position to look anywhere else, you know.
So you're caught now. You are in a car.
I absolutely am in a trap, and I think it's terrible. I mean, I remember the time you were doing that before. I mean, there was people who didn't even know when their parents were dead that they'd been landed with this. Was owed a whole load of money.
Okay. Now, as far as we know, the Bank of Ireland have stopped doing this loan.
Oh, yeah.
They stopped it today. Okay.
Well, okay. Well, I as I also said, I was listening to another programme on another station. Briefly, I was just flicking through. And I heard this lady talking about the value of houses and telling older people, for heaven's sake, go and take out equity on your house. She said it's called a life loan, she sort of said, and you can get so much equity on your house and go and get it and go and spend it and don't be worrying about leaving money to your children. There's one thing about leaving money to your children, but there's, you know, leaving the whole blessed house that I've sweated and my husband have sweated for the last, I'm 55 years married this year, so for 55 years we have worked, well, we didn't pay for it for 55 years, we had it paid off by 1990, but we paid 15% interest when we did get our first house.
Okay, but your point now is the way things are going, and please God you will live a long life.
I'm not saying please God, to be honest with you.
Why?
Because to be honest with you, Joe, I don't want to give my house to the Bank of Ireland. I just don't want to. And if I die in the morning, maybe my husband will move in with my daughter, or my daughter will move in with him or something, or whatever. I don't know. But somehow, somewhere. I don't know, Joe. It gets too stressful for me when I think about it. I try to keep up a bright side. I'm one of these people that enjoy me singing, or did when I could do it, and all the rest of it. But, you know, when I think about this, it was my fault because I initiated it at home. I feel it's my fault. And the last thing I'd love to see on my husband's face is a smile before I die. And he loves me dearly, and he works very hard for me, and he does a lot of things for me, Joe. But
but you've taken me aback there, Anne. Seriously, that you would.
I really would.
I thought it was a throwaway remark. He said, "I'd rather be gone at this stage." But
no, it's not.
Okay, stay with us, Anne.
It's really pulling me down. Like, that's how I feel. My sight and everything has gone bad, and if I had to go back to singing in the morning, I don't even think I could sing because I haven't sung for so long since this blessed
lockdown
came down. You know,
but see, all you can hear is obviously you're saying, "Okay, I owe 204 today. It's going up by the day.
Yeah.
The clock is ticking
up
and up and up. Compound interest."
Absolutely. Now it's not 6.1 now. After 15 years, it came down to 3.
Okay.
So,
but your point is, the only way I can pay that amount of money off now is to get rid of my house.
Yeah,
but
I don't want to get rid of my house.
I know, of course.
I really want. I walked into this house in 1973, and the day I walked in here, I was so happy. I really was. I loved this house. I loved it, and I still love it.
That's a lovely area.
It's not exceptional. It's a 4 bedrooms, semi-detached house in a lovely estate. A lovely estate because we all kind of came in together, you know.
Yeah,
and we're all roughly around
together.
The same age. There's a whole lot of new people in, and they're lovely as well, you know.
Okay, stay with us, Anne. Joe at RT.ie, 1857-15815. Catherine, you're phoning on behalf of your mother. When did she take out the life loan?
Hi, Joe. Yeah, my mom took the loan out at the end of 2006, I believe.
Okay. And how much was it for and how much does she owe now?
Okay, she borrowed 120,000 and her thinking at the time, she'd been widowed young and she could see a lot of friends around her who had also been widowed around the same age who were having a hard time managing.
Okay.
And of the 3 kids in the family, 2 were living away, and she felt she was not going to be able to be a proper mum or grandmother or, you know, keep in contact. She couldn't afford travel, things like that, to go see them. That's why she took the loan out. So at the time, I think it would have been about 15% of the value of the house, and it's now close to 50% of the current value. So the loan figure was 120,000. We got a statement just December. 288,497 is what's due on the loan now.
Wow.
And the interest that what is due annually on it with the compound interest is 14,500, give or take, a year.
Yeah. That'd be right, yeah.
So the interest every year again is how much?
That's it. That's it's 14,600, I think, for 2020.
And because it's compound interest.
It goes up and up. Yeah. And I would agree with your last caller. My mum says she has no clear sense of it having been properly explained to her that it was compound interest. And no clear sense of a proper breakdown of how that might turn out if she lived to a certain age. You know, so we really don't feel that proper care was taken of her as a customer from the get-go.
But your mother is 82 now.
Yeah.
She took it out in 2006.
Yeah.
And what she's saying, she didn't fully understand it.
What she's saying is she doesn't believe it was properly explained.
Okay.
It was not clearly enough spelt out. You know the way the banking practices have changed in recent years, and you know, I mean, I have a loan at the, I have a mortgage at the moment, and it's really clearly broken down. This is the cost of your credit. This is what you've borrowed. This is what it's going to cost you to pay it off over 25 years. And this is what you're paying monthly, and this is what the interest is. Mom is very organized, and she keeps her paperwork. So I've been at no notice this morning. I was able to find 12 out of the 13 or so statements she should have since the loan was taken out.
Okay.
And all the tax statements. So she keeps things, but she doesn't believe she was ever given clear paperwork that spells out the implications and the full cost of the loan.
But the loan, and it is, you sent us in a copy of the statement from the, I misread it for a start. I saw, I read 28,000.
I know, me too.
It's
me
you
too, Joe.
Oh, okay.
I looked at it this morning and the figures were dancing in front of my eyes and my mind wanted to put a comma in
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Tenfold earlier, because the full number was impossible to comprehend, really.
It's 282,000.
It's 288,497 euro.
Wow.
Which is now basically half the value of the house now.
Okay. How is your mother?
Well, to be honest, I suppose over the years, you know, she felt she had no choice but to take it. And she didn't think there was anything she could do about it. So it's something that she's kind of buried. We wouldn't talk about it. And very strangely, this morning we started talking about it for the first time. Just this morning she showed me a statement.
Yeah.
And she kind of felt it was time. It was becoming so enormous that she needed to show it to someone. And she did say, like, each year when the statement comes in, all she feels is enormous shock. You know, it's obscene. But what she felt, what she said today, we sat for a minute and we sort of worked out the sums, just kind of what would there be in her estate for her kids.
Okay, yeah.
And we kind of worked out, okay, it's going to be it's very little at the moment. And in a best case scenario, it'll be the same kind of very little in 10 years' time. And she got really upset and she said what she feels is she's lived too long and she's living too long. So that's her...
That's
her fundamental point about it. This loan is making my mom feel like a burden, and that she's living too long, and that we'd be better off if she was dead.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what
God.
That loan is doing to her quality of life.
And that's what it's doing to me, Joe.
But Anne, you can't be... Stop, Anne. You can't,
please. That's what it's absolutely
don't
doing
Don't be guilty
to me.
For being alive.
I know, Joe, and I have two lovely grandchildren, and I have two great kids, and I have a super husband who looks after me because he has to do the cooking and he has to do the shopping and my daughter has to come over and clean my house because I've arthritis as well. Oh, Joe, listen, what use am I here? I can't even see my grandchildren when they come in the door. So
They're dying to see their grannies.
So, oh, they're I can't even see them. They actually came over and spent five minutes in my house the other day because it was my eldest granddaughter's birthday. And I said, please bring her over. And they came into the house. I was one end of the room and they were the other. And I couldn't see them. That's how bad my sight is.
Yeah.
I couldn't see their face. My eldest one, she's only 9 now. And she always keeps her to saying, I'm sorry, Granny, I can't walk down to you, you know, because she understands that she's supposed to stay away. And she said, I'm sorry, I can't walk down to you, Granny. And she said, because I know you can't see me. So, like, why do I want to live like that anymore? I don't. And then know that that bank and usurers just want to take your bloody house off you. No, Joe, I'm sorry. I've had it now at this stage. I really have. You know, I try to keep up my spirits. I sing around the house when I can and I forget about it. And as soon as I start to think about this, I just go into mush now. There's no purpose to my life anymore other than the fact that I really have good people around me, but I'm a burden on them. I'm a complete burden on them. And they'll tell me that's all wrong. Well, it's not all wrong. It's right.
David Rosny. As on the line. Say with us, Anne and Catherine. David, good afternoon.
Joe, how are you?
It's your mother again, is it? It's your mother's case.
My mother's case again, yeah. And I'm listening to your callers there and I can understand exactly where they're coming from because I went through the same thing. My mother, unfortunately, died in 2016 and the bank, to their great credit, took every penny they were owed. And what really peeved me at the time, and still does, believe it or not, is the fact that they wouldn't engage with me. I requested meetings on a variety of occasions to try and make some sense out of this lifelong scenario, which in my opinion was taking advantage of people who were not in a strong position at the time.
Mm.
My recollection of the lifelong process was my mother was a religious woman and used to love to go to Lourdes and wanted some spare cash over and above to enable her to do that. And she read about a lifelong somewhere. And my memory of the process was that the bank do what they do with mortgages. They sell. They were selling the concept. And it was bought into. The bottom line was they offered her 2.5 times what she wanted and tried to get her to engage in that. So eventually she settled on 25 grand, and 12 years later it became 85 grand. Wow. And the bank took every shilling they were owed. It was done. My mother at that stage had become a ward of court, so the court process engaged and discharged the life loan as if it was a mortgage in full. And I still haven't spoken to the bank, nor can I get near anybody. Now, as an additional mm-hmm. piece of information, the conversation I had with Lifeline at the time was picked up by the Irish Independent.
Okay.
Charlie Weston put an article in the paper a day or two afterwards. And I was intent on starting a pressure group to try and get at the bank.
Yeah.
Just as a piece of information, I'm led to believe there are something approaching 3,000 lifelong users in the country.
Still
so
out
I
there,
was hoping to gather the group. There's a fair number of them.
And am I right in saying that it's discontinued?
When my mother died and everything was paid off, I kind of let it go, and I haven't been following it through. I'd have to do some research. But certainly, excuse me, my view at the time is that the bank, for whatever reason, decided to discontinue offering life loans as they were, but I believe they're reconstituted and are now being offered. Under what guise, I don't know.
Yeah, apparently they stopped selling them in 2010.
Well, they're offering them, Joe, sorry, I just said the lady I heard who, as I said, does a money program on, I think, on a Saturday morning on News Talk, I distinctly heard her say, I wasn't actually listening to the whole program, but I just happened to flick on, and I heard her saying, for people now that are come to this age, and you've reared your children and educated them, and you've got them all jobs, and that's it. Go and get yourself Lifeloan, she said. Now, that's only last week, Joe. And I was screaming at the radio saying, please, please don't tell anybody to do that.
Yeah, I didn't.
Joe.
Yeah, yes, Catherine, sorry.
Would you mind just a smaller point, if you don't mind? And it's amazing, actually. David, I emailed you about a year ago.
Okay.
I first started to think about this, and I did a lot of internet research, and I found David's name, and I did send him a mail. But I guess at that point, David, you'd probably put it away. You'd kind of put the whole question away. So it's brilliant to be having the conversation now. But even on a far smaller point that I think also needs to be argued, I gather from the bank's initial marketing material that they were promising 15 years after they started giving these loans, or you would take one, they would offer you a chance to change your interest rate. My mom's not received anything. I guess, actually, we probably haven't quite hit 15 years yet, but I wonder whether anybody else has had that experience.
I did.
A reduced rate.
After how long, Anne, again?
My rate, as far as I know, it's either 3.1 or 3.
And how long did you pay to 6.1?
Up to last September.
So many
15 years.
15
exactly
years.
15 years.
That's the
point.
Okay, Bank of Ireland statement. Life loans enable people to raise finance without having to trade down or move home, with no repayments until the property was sold. Bank of Ireland sold life loans products between 2001 and 2010 in accordance with regulatory requirements. We evolve and change our product range on an ongoing basis, and the sale of our life loan product finished over 10 years ago. Now, the dates there are interesting. 2001, it's regarded the Celtic Tiger began in the late 90s and came to a shuddering halt in 2008-2009. So these life loan products were on sale between 2001 and 2010.
I think it was 2004 my mother took out the loan.
She borrowed 25 and she owed 85.
Correct.
Wow.
And that was taken up in full by the bank. Now, I can't argue with the bank's legal position, and I've told them that. The criteria are a mess. I'm talking about any financial institution I've ever dealt with, and I've been in business all my life, will discuss the situation with you and come to some arrangement that's beneficial to both parties. The bank in this instance, when I discovered what was happening, and at that stage was maybe 10 years later, the interest had accrued and accrued and accrued, and I held my hands up in horror and said, I need to talk to these guys and try and come to some arrangement. They refused to meet me.
That's right. Mm. That's right, they wouldn't talk to you.
The unfortunate thing is, I'm sorry for cutting across.
No, you're okay.
The unfortunate thing, as I say, is when they wouldn't meet me and my mother became a ward of court, the court acted in accordance with the law and paid the bank in full. Now, I'm still aggrieved about the whole thing, and I've discussed this with my wife over the years, and I'm still prepared to start and front a pressure group to try and approach the bank to do something about this situation. But if there are 3,000 people out there in a similar boat, I need a lot of them to come forward.
But the Bank of Ireland are falling back, David, on this line. We did it in accordance with regulatory requirements. And I presume the regulator, as you know, disappeared between 2000 and 2010,
but
we discovered to our cost. But remember, every ad, I presume it's the same for Life Loan, every ad for a bank has a longer piece at the end of it. This loan is guaranteed, is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland under the terms of 1942 the Act, and rewarding loans, shares may go up as well as down. This is not, there's loads of these. Was that not, that's not at the end of that ad?
No, not to my recollection. And I don't recall seeing it in documentation. Unfortunately, the Ombudsman wouldn't take it on because it was time constrained. And you find when you try and do something that all of the regulatory doors and official doors start closing against you. And you're left with the bank standing on ceremony and saying, we've acted in accordance with the law. We don't care whether your mother is 70, 80 or 90. We're going to screw her. And that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, well, I'm the same, David, because I actually got to talk now to somebody in the bank in September. And I to tell you the truth, I was so upset I didn't even catch the man's name. But I got through to the department, which is now somewhere in the Financial Services Centre. And and that's who's dealing with it now. The banks don't deal with it as such. But I got, and I was put on from one person to another person. Oh, I can't, I don't know how to discuss that. I don't know. And that's all I got. And eventually, I'd say after about going through about seven different calls, I got this, as I explained to the researcher this morning, this, I would say, was probably one of the directors of the Bank of Ireland, to be
quite honest with you.
Well, I don't know who he was, but he had that lovely voice and authoritative and educated. And now, Mrs., would you get off the line in a way? He didn't say it that way, but this is me summing him up. And he just kept saying to me, even though I was trying to say, okay, I made a mistake. I wasn't fully aware of what I was, that's okay, my fault. But I said, can there not be a compromise? Can nobody make a mistake in their life? And I said, could somebody not even meet you halfway or somewhere? Or after 15 years, at least stop adding more interest to it. And then I'd feel happy to live till I was 100.
Yeah, right. So you're right in saying it's back in. I'm reading an article by Bill Tyson, I think he's with the Sunday Business Post now, but a very well-respected veteran financial editor and journalist. And he wrote in the year 2000, 21 years ago, is Bank of Ireland's new life loan a lifeline or a financial noose? Now, he does go into, the article begins by quoting a financial planner who says it's a good idea. That's Bill doing his work. But this financial planner says, releases fund that will enable offspring to climb up on the first rungs of the property ladder. And whereas the interest gathering in the family home clearly erodes its future value, which is what's happened, compensation accrues to children in their own family home, which they would not otherwise possess. But he does say a loan, Bill does put it out clearly, a loan of 40k will rack up payments. You'll have to pay back 120k. So that's what, nearly 70k in interest. A sum of 60k borrowed would accumulate repayments of 120k. So the figures were and there was no tax concessions. Whereas Charlie Weston, another veteran and another very well respected financial journalist, I've been handed an article that Charlie wrote in January 4th, 23 days ago. An equity release provider is reopening in this market years after the banking crash closed off the availability of these loans. Equity release involves older people mortgaging part of their home before their death. But the loan product has proved controversial in the country in the past, as taking one out can lead sometimes to unforeseen problems. Spry Finance, the new retail division of Seniors Money Mortgages, said it was now open to new clients. By the way, Anne and Catherine and David, what was this loan only available to people of a certain age?
Yes, my recollection, and I go back to the early 2000s when the height of the Celtic Tiger was starting off, was that it was directed at, I won't say pensioners, but certainly people of that era. It wasn't available to younger people. It was releasing equity in your property.
You had to own your house.
Yeah,
you had to own your house.
That was your
No, that was what I thought. Anyway, thought after 15 years it would stop. You know, the interest would stop. And whatever
say,
I owed after 15 years.
Okay.
But okay, then I'll try and live with that. But I mean, you sort of say the regulator went whatever, but we do have a central bank, and we do have regulators in there, and all banks are regulated by. I mean, Joe, people change things at will when they want to. You know what I mean? I'm not sort of saying I want to be. Does people walk into court, Joe? This is what really gets me sometimes. People walk into court own 3 and 4 million, and they walk out. Not own a penny.
That's a good point, yeah.
You know, three people I can name, and I'm not going to, but I could name. And they walked in, they didn't even have to give up their house. In fact, they're swanning around now, still as happy as Larry. Okay. So would I be.
Joe, could I? Sorry.
Catherine, I want to bring I'll come back to you in a sec. I'll come back to you after this break, because more people are very upset about this life loan. Loan that people took out. The whole idea was you were acid rich but cash poor, and this was using the value of your house. Get a loan now, spend it now on whatever you want, be it children or lures or round the world trip, and the you would only pay back the loan plus interest, and that was the killer, when either you sell your house or you die and your house has to be sold. But that's what's killing people, unfortunately. 51551 wash hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
In 2001, at the height of the lunacy, the Bank of Ireland, no connection of course, the Bank of Ireland offered a new loan product called a life loan, where you could borrow money there and then, cash up as a proportion of the value of your house. There would be interest every year, 6.1% compound interest. And you would repay the amount, the loan plus the interest, when you either sold the house or indeed died, effectively, or paid the loan another way, I suppose. And people are very upset because they've seen their borrowings of 60k turn into 204k and 25 grand turned into 85 grand, and they think it's penal, the amount you have to pay. And as you heard from Anne earlier on, she's very, very, very upset because all she sees is the loan getting higher and higher. It's now nearly a quarter of a million, and she's no assets, and the only asset she has is her house. So what does she do? Is it ratchets it up and up and up? Denise Dunphy. Denise, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
You say there is a way out of the life loan.
Yeah, there is. The only way out that I found, my dad had taken out a life loan around 2001, I think, because he was aware that he didn't have all that long to live, though the family weren't aware of that. So he wanted to leave my mum sort of secure. So he took out the life loan. So after he died in 2004, mum was very anxious about the whole situation. So I went with her to the bank to investigate to see if we could pay off the loan. And having had a lot of discussions with the then CEO of the of Bank of Ireland and our own legal people and the local manager. The local manager told me the only way that she could get out of the deal, which was a fixed interest rate of, I think it was about 5.6 for 15 years, was to die or to sell her house. Yeah. So I said, fine, I will buy the house. So I bought the house from my mother, paid off the loan, along with the balance of the 15 years of interest, because obviously it was fixed for that period. Around 2006, I think it was, that I paid it off and bought the house back for her. And Mum is, you know, nearly 93 now. She's hale and hearty and living in her home. So that's, you know, 20 years pretty well since the loan was taken out. So
but just the numbers again, Denise, sorry. If you want to tell me, how much was the original loan?
I think it was roughly around 50,000.
50,000,
okay. A bit less than 50,000.
And then when you say you decided to try and get rid of the loan, what, 5 years later?
If it was even that.
And the only way your mother could get money is if she sold, obviously, because the fact that you already cashed in the asset meant that you were short of cash anyway.
It wasn't even that she was short of cash. It was the fact that she couldn't pay off the loan. You're not allowed to pay off the loan yourself. So she couldn't pay off the loan.
Wow. So you bought the house.
So I bought
5 years later. Do you remember how much the loan then was?
I can't remember exactly what it was, but I know that between obviously stamp duty and all of the taxes that were involved in the purchase, it probably cost me about 120 in the end.
Wow. After 5 years on a 50k loan, you paid 120.
Well, that was because obviously I had to purchase, and then because there was stamp duty, and then it was the cost of the actual value of the house. So it was a little bit complicated. I ultimately paid.
Yeah, but what sounds very penal, Denise.
It's totally, because I had to pay the interest.
That's what I mean.
For the following 10 years.
You were paying interest.
I had to pay. She was locked in to a 15-year agreement. So even though I paid it off after 5 years, we had to pay the other 10 years' interest.
Wow, that is some...
It was absolutely extortionate. And I wrote to the CEO at the time. It was extortionate what they were doing to people. And it wasn't clear. It really, really wasn't clear what people were buying into.
Because
this is very significant for older people. While she had this loan, no one could live in the house with her.
Why?
Because then they might have some rights to the house. So while you have the life loan, no one can come to live in the house. So at this stage, Mum was 93, and myself and my husband and herself, we lived together in the house. So she's safe. But if she had the life loan, she couldn't have someone living in the house.
But the killer is you paid off the loan. But then you paid interest on a loan for 10 years plus for a loan you no longer had.
Yeah, because they bought in, it was a 15-year contract. Okay.
I thought when the word fixed was used for 6.1 or 5.5, whatever, I thought it meant that the interest rate would stay fixed as long as the loan wasn't repaid. But you're saying that the interest rate stays there for 15 years, even if you pay the loan back after a year.
Because you've agreed. It's the same with your mortgage. You know, if you try and change your mortgage price, it's exactly the same. Yes, you have to pay the balance.
Mags, so stay with us, Mags.
Quite shocking.
Okay, Mags, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Life loan, who took it out?
Well, my father-in-law took it out when he was 65 and he's 84 now.
Right.
And during last year, he suffered a stroke, which resulted in him going into a home. And then we had to apply for Fair Deal. But unfortunately, the HSE had to get confirmation from the Bank of Ireland to say that they would accept a second loan on the house prior to them issuing us with the Fair Deal. Now, that seems fairly straightforward, you know, in one sense. But the Bank of Ireland took about 6 months before they would give us that confirmation. There is no phone number that you can contact them directly on in the bank. You have to go through admin staff. my poor husband was on, you know, regularly every week to them, and they'd say, ring us back again, we might have an update, ring us back again. And while we were waiting for all of this to happen, we had to, of course, fund the HSE portion under the third year. But the whole experience and process was so stressful on the family, and there was no guarantee that the bank, we were totally at their mercy to say yes or no, whether we would, they would accept a second loan, even though there was no danger for them, because they would be first in line to get their money back when the house would sell. But, you know, they just took their sweet time and eventually got back to us confirming that they would agree to that. And like, that's okay for us because we were lucky enough that there was enough equity on that house. But in the event for a person that there may not be enough equity, I don't know what situation that leaves them.
Because Fair Deal is such a lifeline for so many people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's crucial.
By the way, Sinead Ryan is the presenter of The Home. It's a very good programme. She's a very good journalist. She's also a contributor on many news talk programmes on consumer issues, and she writes in the newspapers. But Sinead Ryan has tweeted, I'm told, that Anne mentioned hearing something about life loans last week on Sinead's programme. They were discussing the product and explaining how it worked, said Sinead, but they were adamant, she's adamant, they were not recommending them. Mags, so... have you any idea how much your father now owes back on the amount he borrowed and the amount he now owes?
Well, I think he borrowed around 40,000.
Okay.
And like that, only in the last year or so that they reduced down the interest, but he's still paying interest.
Yeah.
And he will continue to pay interest until the day he dies.
Okay.
So this is like 19 years later.
Yeah, and you, as you say, your father is had a stroke, but does he talk about this loan the way Catherine's mother does, the way indeed Anne does?
No, we kept all that away from him. He
Did
has
you?
No idea, yeah, because he's the poor man has enough to be dealing with now.
Okay, good point.
He suffers from a stroke, and so, you know, dealing with the, I suppose, the stress of his bad health, and the fact that he had to move into a home in the teeth of COVID. And then we're on our knees to a bank that we help bail out in the bank crisis. It's just not good enough, their response, really.
Yeah. And can you hear the despair in people's voices, Max? That's the thing that's shocking.
Sure, I mean, when people are just like losing the will to live and thinking they're better off improving their family's position if they die. I mean, that's outrageous. Situation to be in, and surely hasn't the bank got enough money now from them after X amount of years paying, you know, being charging them interest at that level to now say, okay, well, here's have a cut off and here's what you owe us.
But is there,
no
is
matter
there,
how many more
yeah,
years.
And I'm thinking, I presume there would be a tendency, therefore, if you listen to Anne's despair earlier on, and she says she's basically, her house is going to the bank. That's what's happening, the way it's ratcheting up the interest rates at this stage. But that, the downstream of that is that you'd lose interest in your house. You won't start improving it. You won't, because you're saying, why would I keep improving? I'm not saying this is Anne's case, but why would I keep improving it? Because the bank are going to get it anyway. It's a bit of, okay, where's John? John is in Cavan. Thanks, Mags. Thanks, Denise. John.
How are you, Joe?
Good.
Joe, I tell you, I was just listening to those poor people, and I tell you, I was in the same situation. I had got a bit of inheritance, and I was able to clear the bloody loan. But I tell you, it's financial suicide. Don't even think about going there. Because I tell you, it's those poor people are in a nervous disposition now at the minute.
Yeah.
I was too. I'm a strong person. I'm able to get over these things, and I have got over it. But I was down about 80 grand. Now, they give you the money.
Yeah.
You do what you want with it. That's fair enough. But you don't read the little small print. And it's easy done because I was in personal finance all my life. And I just at the time, my mom was sick and I said, look, I need a boost. Took a few bob. And then I said to myself, Jesus, what did I do? And those poor people are suffering.
And how much did you borrow, John, can I ask?
60 grand.
And how much did you pay back when you got out of it?
Oh, well, the interest, I paid the loan off early, right?
Okay.
Because I had a few bob. And it cost me about 180,000 to get out of it.
My God.
I was, sorry, about 160. But the law, my house, I owned it. But I ended up with nothing out of the house. I was in despair at the time, but I got over it, you know? Yeah. But a lot of people can't because they don't have a few bob days. They don't have inheritance to clear off the loan. Okay. But I honestly say to your listeners, it is financial suicide. Don't even go there.
Yeah. But where would you know, if someone wants to borrow 80K, 60K, where do you go?
You don't, Joe. You're stuck. And that's the truth.
Credit union. It's
like, now look at all this kind. I went to the ombudsman and they don't give two hoots. The same as if you look at all the contracts in Ireland were registered by the bank of the central bank. It doesn't mean a tosser. You know?
Why do you say that, John?
Because they don't care. They really, there's no, look at, you heard about criminals in suits.
Yeah, well, don't go down that road.
No. That's a terminology.
I'm not saying that. We won't go down that road. Move. You know, you've made your point very strongly. Okay, John, thanks indeed. That's John.
Not a matter, Joe.
Okay,
nice,
you look after yourself. John and Gavin. Deirdre Shanny. Deirdre, how much did your mother borrow?
Grand, how you, Joe? My mother borrowed 15,000.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, 30,000 over the 15 years over the 15-year cycle of it. But it was advertised on the radio and on the television. Mick Lally was doing the advertising of, you know, free up your home and all this, free up the collateral in your home, the assets, and so she borrowed that money. And she was deaf all her life, and I'm guessing that she never heard about this compound interest because she was a very smart lady. Mm. She wouldn't have done that. But when she died 5 years ago, we went in to see what was owed on this life loan to find that we had to pay 70,000. So she had borrowed 30. And only my husband had retired the week before that, and he had put his pension in up to pay for this, for my mother's loan. The lady in the bank told us we were very lucky. We had 1 week to go in which the bank was in its right to actually claim the entire value of the house, which was around 300,000. So, in other words, we paid it off with 1 week to go, unbeknownst to ourselves what was actually happening.
Wow, 30 grand. And then after how long did she have to pay back 70?
15 years. And then we paid back 70.
And the fact that you were lucky that 70 had, well, it was, you weren't lucky, but you, it was,
yep,
you,
we were
you,
lucky
you used, you used up your husband's retirement pension to pay
correct
it off.
Correct. In its entirety, yes.
Yeah, wow.
To pay it off.
Okay.
And I went down to a friend of mine that worked in the bank at the time, and he said his own mother used to work in the bank, and she left on account of not, they were asking her to sell these loans, and she refused to sell them. So there's a lot of people out there with just no
conscience at all. Yeah, but the bank would say, we sold them as per the regulations, the state regulator.
Yeah, well, here was a lady who was hard of hearing, who would, you know, was quite noticeable with two hearing aids. Even to converse with her, she was on a different subject.
Do you know if anyone went with her when she was applying for the loan?
No, she didn't. She went on her own.
She
went on her own. Yeah, she just wanted to get a few jobs done in our little house.
Yeah, I understand.
And my father had been dead a good few years before that, and she was on her own, and just to free up some money. And the lady just did not realise what she was doing, what was involved.
Did you have any negotiations with the bank, Deirdre, when you discovered the amount owed back to say, listen, is this fair? You won't get anywhere because wasn't it David Rosny earlier on did? He went high and low and someone else spoke to a director at the Bank of Ireland. But anyway, it got nowhere.
Yeah, about a week after, or maybe 2 weeks even after my mother died, we were tidying up all her paperwork and whatever. And we went down to the bank, and there was no negotiation. There was no nothing. They weren't having anything.
It's just all here in writing. Your mother signed.
Say that,
Francis. It's not the Bank of Ireland. Where did your mother get this type of life loan? Your father.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good,
It was actually my father. My father got a loan from so they're like a seniors loan, senior fund. They're actually a vulture fund. And in 2007, and he had just had a brain injury a couple of years beforehand. And it's, look, I'm listening to all the people here on the phone, and they're really feeling hard done by. But it's actually the what was set out to give my father this loan was so shabby that it's like we have a case with the ombudsman at the moment. We've taken his case to the ombudsman. He got a loan for 45,000 euros on a house that was valued for 300,000.
Okay.
Now, no house in our housing estate has sold for anything near 300,000 euros.
Okay.
So the average cost of a house would be about 160,000.
And how much is owed on the loan?
So there's the loan is doubled.
Okay.
So it's 90,000 now. But there was a lot of procedures that while the loan was being sold to my father that are very questionable at the moment. They have a Salesforce sheet, and on that sheet they mark all the aspects. So we explain the loan to you, we explain the interest, we explain all of that. There's no signatures on that sheet. There's only a tick.
Well, how did you manage to get hold of that sheet?
Well, we went to the company, and we said to the company, we want all correspondence from the time that you tried to sell that loan to my father to the current day. Mm. So what also happened was my father, he hadn't paid the house insurance. So they took out house insurance on his behalf.
Okay.
And they compounded the interest on the house insurance, added that to the loan going forward. Yeah. So here's a man with a brain injury. His wife had died 4 months before he was approached for this loan. He had denied that he didn't want the loan 4 times in a row. And then on the fifth time, after being basically pestered, he said yes. Okay. And then there's a clause within the loan, and it's called an execution only. And I'm sure if you asked John, who was on just earlier, who dealt in finance, what an execution only is. An execution only means that they don't have to explain the product to you. Yeah. So if you're getting in my father's case, a 45,000 euro loan at 8%, within 7 years that loan will have doubled at 8%. Right.
Mm.
So this execution only is the biggest no-no in finance. Nobody uses it except for these companies.
Mm.
And this seniors money company, they are only out to get to sell loans.
Okay, pensioners. There's a number of companies with the name seniors in it, so I don't want to go down that road because I don't know which one we're talking about.
Yeah.
But your point is, so your general advice the same as everyone else? Is stay away from them.
Well, it's not even that. It's actually our major problem is with their processes. They sold a very expensive product to a vulnerable man without finding out his medical past, without finding out, you know, the valuation of the house was just picked out of thin air. Like, all of everything is questionable. Everything is questionable. And we've taken our case to the ombudsman at the moment, and we're fighting this because anybody that works in finance, if they were to look at our case, they would say there's no way that this product should have been sold to this man. Yeah. So I'd say a lot of people are in the same boat out there. You know what I mean? If they look through the paperwork, they'll find out that, you know, they weren't given the right information at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Francis, and your father died in September. I'm conscious of that as well. God rest him. Francis, dear Deshani, I have more people on after this break. 51551, my friend.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
We are talking about life loans. The Bank of Ireland was a loan product introduced for a decade from 2000. Now gone, though people are pointing out there's another company now offering this. If you're asset rich but cash poor, you can get a loan on based on the value of your house, the percentage of the value of your house. But the interest rates seem to be very high and it's fixed. In other words, you have to pay 15 years interest, even if you manage. If you've taken out a loan, the only way, more likely you can manage, unless you win the lotto, which is extraordinarily rare, the only way you could pay off the loans by selling your house. But the figures are just mind-boggling. People borrowing at 25, paying off 85. Martina Gallivan. Martina, good afternoon. Your father-in-law borrowed how much on the value of the house?
112,000 in 2007.
Okay, how much does he owe now?
Well, he passed away last March, and actually it's 285,000.
Wow.
It's literally the price of the house. The house isn't even worth that now because of the fallen value of the house.
Wow.
So at the time it was sold to him, it was just, again, do you want to release equity from your house?
Yeah.
He has one son and one daughter, and none of the family were actually told the implications, or nothing was discussed with the family about the implications of, well, this is what happens, you know, when your father does pass away. And I know for a fact that my father-in-law, had he known at the time that there would be literally nothing left in the pot, basically, as an inheritance for his son and daughter, he would never have signed on the dotted line. And we just feel that my husband and his sister feel absolutely just devastated by the whole thing and really aggrieved. I think it's an absolute disgrace what the banks are doing. I'm delighted that it's been brought up today, because I never, even knew that anyone else was involved in this, because I was saying at the time when he passed away, there must be something we can do.
But if you got 112 and 207, that was the percentage of the value of the house. The house was obviously worth a lot more than it is today.
Oh, absolutely, it was at the time. It was compound interest, and that's the other thing as well.
That's the other
thing, we're not told.
Yeah,
compound interest.
And you pay it for 15 years, even if you manage to, be able or lucky enough, or sell your house to a relative, even if you manage to pay off the loan in the meantime, you'll still pay, as we discovered, 15 years interest. Elaine, stay there, Martina. Elaine, good afternoon. How much was borrowed?
61,000.
And how much is now owed?
157,000.
Wow.
Dad just got a statement there the other day. But we're in a precarious position because Mam has Alzheimer's and dementia. And we have inquired about the Fair Deal, and they don't take the life loan into account. So when they're valuing the home and how much you're being assessed for to pay towards the care of the person, they don't take the fact that the house is now no longer worth $300,000 or $400,000. It's like, to us, the house is probably worth about $100,000 when the life loan is cleared.
Yeah,
that doesn't matter. They don't take
that
into account.
Well, that isn't enough for Fair Deal to basically give you for them to rely on in the hope of getting some of the money back. They're saying there's a lien on this house and it's 157k. Yeah. The house is worth 257. You're saying you're offering us a house that's worth less than 100k. We don't believe and the way the Fair Deal works, which is generally very, very well run and that. But the way it works is, they're saying your 100 grand won't cover the if she's in a nursing home for, I know
a
you pay for 3 years,
And
nursing homes are up to 2K a week. People forget that, up to 2K a week. Because they're 24/7, 365, lots of staff, as we discovered during the lockdown, the pandemic. Okay.
That's a big mess, Elaine. Yeah. It's whether or not we can make the decision for Mam when it comes. Like, she's still at home. Dad has issues. Dad's her main carer.
Yeah.
But it's the decisions we need to make going forward.
And because the value's gone out, there's two wallops here you're getting. One, the value's gone out of the house. It borrowed 61K, now they owe 157K. And that's the value that's gone out of that house. And the second thing is, your prospect of getting the Fair Deal is based on the value of your house. And the Fair Deal is really, really critical if you're trying to get into a nursing home, given the cost. They can't even get the Fair Deal.
But what the Fair Deal have told us as well is that if we can come up with, when Mam and Dad borrowed the money, they borrowed the money to do work on the house. Right. So what they've asked us is if we can provide them with receipts of work up to the 61,000, that okay. they'll take the loan into account. But if we can't provide them with those receipts, you know, that God, they can't okay. use that. But who's going to have receipts from 2005 on work that was done in 2005? And a lot of those companies, through whatever, have gone out of business and stuff like that, you know. Like, and mum and dad don't even remember who they got to do the work, being honest, you know.
So if your mother's going to a nursing home, you're going to have to raise the money if you're not eligible for the Fair Deal, either a loan or pay the balance yourself, but you won't even be eligible for the Fair Deal because the asset isn't there.
The asset, it's not there. So so we're kind of in an awful predicament at the moment. Now, Dad is managing and has managed her up to now.
Yeah.
But going forward, we don't know.
Yeah, it's a terrible worry, you know? Elaine. It's a terrible worry. And now, double whammy here now after discovering the loan.
Like, I mean, there's just myself and my brother as well, and we couldn't, being honest. I've five kids, two of which are going through college, and it's just, my brother has three smallies, and it's just not possible. You know, we don't know.
I know it's very difficult. On paper, sounds impossible, but try if they will engage, and hopefully they will, because you hear very good reports about them. Try and keep engaging with the Fair Deal unit in the HSE. They might have a few more ideas, but you're right. Yeah. The money is 160k gone out of the value of the house.
Gone out of the value of the home.
Okay.
Now, I know. At the time, the house was valued at 300,000 in 2005. I can't see it being valued at that now, but, you know, I know they are on the way back up.
Elaine, thanks for sharing that. You're not alone, unfortunately. But kind regards to you and your family and your mother, especially with dementia. Thanks, Elaine. 51551 Marchant.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.